Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. And we're also located in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, right across the street from my favorite store, Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit our website, ellenbecker.com, for more details and to look at some of the various events and seminars that we're going to be hosting in the near future. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And today, I'd like to talk about the transformation from working to retirement. And this stage is more than just a shift from a career to leisure. It's a profound change that can impact really every facet of your life, including identity, daily routines, financial stability, and social connections. When I think of my clients who are retiring, I can tell, you know, it's a phase of their life that they've been saving for many, many years. And everybody thinks about the financial aspect of retirement. Nobody really focuses on the mental and the physical part of retirement. And I'm going to share, you know, one of the first things you ask somebody when you meet them is, what do you do for a living? And there's so much identity with our careers and our jobs. And if you go to any cemetery, you'll see it doesn't really include what Mr. Smith or Mrs. Jones did for a living. There's a whole study on what happened between your birth and your passing, that dash, right? Where it says somebody lived from 1940 to 1990. What did you do during that dash? And I'm going to share, when I work with clients, some people really do focus on what are they doing in retirement. And I always tell people they really need to test out what they're going to do in retirement. So sometimes people say they want to do gardening, reading books. Other people say they want to volunteer for various organizations. And then when they finally do volunteer, they decide they don't like what they're doing and they're kind of struggling. So today I really wanted to talk about how people have really transitioned into retirement. I have a panel of two retirees. One individual has retired more recent. Another has been retired for a couple of years. And we're going to get their perspective on various topics. I think everybody's going to find our conversation interesting and real. Because if you look at any of the commercials on retirement, everybody's doing the same thing. They're golfing or sailing, right? And they're always really good-looking people, extremely fit. And we know everybody who's listening today isn't golfing or sailing in retirement. Sure, some of you are, but not everybody. So I have some real retirees here, and I'm going to take a moment and introduce Mike and Jerry. And I'll start with you, Mike, because you're right on my right. Do you want to introduce yourself and share a little bit about yourself, where you worked, and you know, how that transition was? Was it a transition that you made, or were you asked to make that?
My name is Mike Titkowski. I'm a retired psychologist. I retired about a year ago. I worked in healthcare. I worked primarily in hospitals dealing with patients who are chronically ill. And I decided a couple years ago that I was getting ready to enter this next phase of my life. And I decided to gradually reduce my time working as a psychologist about 2 years prior to the, quote, end date, unquote, as a means of preparing myself for that transition from working full-time into this wonderful paradise we call retirement.
We have another retiree, Jerry. And Jerry, you've been retired how many years?
I've been retired since 2014, so 10 years. So it's been 10 years for me.
I've worked with you for that period, and it does not seem 10 years for me. Does it seem 10 years for you?
Not at all. If I think back to when I retired, I was thinking, boy, that's going to be a long time at 2024 or whatever the date might be in the future. So it was quite the transition for me, although, as you know, I retired twice, and both of those times I retired from the military in 1989, and then I retired again from the job that I had after the military in 2014. And each of those times, there was a transition for me. And we had talked about this earlier, about being intentional. I had to casually move into it on both occasions, whether from the military or from the job after that. And there was probably about a year transition that I sort of moved into it. And then I tried to be intentional about what I was going to be doing for those next couple years after retirement.
So I'm going to pose a question, and either of you can answer it. When you were thinking about retirement, did you see it as an exciting phase of your life, or was it unnerving? Do you want to share, I'll ask Mike because you're looking at me. Did you find this exciting or unnerving?
I was terrified. I was terrified for the primary reason that I am a rather high-energy, active person. And my biggest concern was in taking away the structure of a 40-hour-plus work week, how would I fill that time, and would I have buyer's remorse a few months down the line where I would be staring at the walls going, what the heck did I just do?
So let me ask, when you talk about that structure, how has that transition been? And have you structured your day differently? Has it been smooth? Do you have buyer's remorse?
I don't have any buyer's remorse whatsoever. In the first couple months after my actual retirement, I had a bit of a flight into employment concern that I would go back into the workforce to remedy that lack of structure. But since then, I've been spending a lot of time on self-care. That's where I devote most of my time. I cycle, I run, I go to bar class with my wife. We have a one-year-old puppy who helps structure my time. And I find that the thoughts of unoccupied time have been receding quite rapidly.
What about you, Jerry?
My transition both times was significantly different. I think for the first time, I was terrified of that transition, because at the time, I was terrified financially. At the time, five children at home, under 14, and so that was a challenge for me. I wasn't quite sure what that was going to look like. The next time, financially, was fine. It was, what am I going to be doing? How will I occupy my time? And I chose volunteer work as my transition, and that worked fine for me because I had no hobbies, and so volunteering seemed to be something that I could easily move into.
So prior to retirement, were you affiliated with this organization that you currently volunteer at, or was it something completely new and different?
No, I was. Prior to retirement, that was that transitional part of it. I wanted to see how it was going to work out. One of them was working on the advisory board for the Salvation Army. I did that for a couple of years before retirement, thought, well, I could do something like this. It was not a huge deal. The next was starting a school, a K-4 through 8 school. That was kind of exciting. But again, that was a couple of years before retirement, so it was a good transition for me.
And that's interesting because two things I want to point out. I always tell my clients, excuse me, when you're retiring, you have to test out your retirement because, again, some people think they're going to enjoy doing gardening every day, and then they get out there and they're like, okay, I'm not enjoying this. It was great when I did it for an hour or two on the weekend, but it's not something I can focus on or reading. They need to really test out that retirement. And organizations, it's a huge part of retirees' life is giving back and volunteering. You just have to make certain that you want to be part of that organization and its mission statement and the people. Because when you think of work, a lot of our social part of our life is our coworkers. So when you volunteer for these organizations, they become part of your social circle. So you gotta like who you're volunteering with. The other aspect I want to talk about is the financial stress. And it's funny, I think, Jerry, you said it took about a year for the financial worries to maybe go aside. And it does take about 9 months for everybody to understand that new way of generating income and cash flow into your house. And a retiree in their first couple months, sometimes they're so thrifty and very mindful of where they're spending their money on because they're so nervous about making those first withdrawals. And then you kind of get a rhythm and then you understand, even with the market fluctuations, that it works out. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more emotional aspects of retirement. So with that, let's take a short break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And we have the pleasure of talking with two retirees. Again, Mike is a recent retiree. Jerry has been retired twice. And we're talking about the emotional aspects of retirement. And one of the areas that I think we should discuss is about the social circle and how your social circle might have changed. And maybe you built new connections where you lost some connections. Let's talk about that a little bit. Who would like to share with our listeners today some of the social changes with retirement?
I think with me, the social aspect of it from a work standpoint was almost cut off immediately. It was very, there was only a few friends that I still talk with, coordinate with, have occasion to be with. The majority of my social interaction remained with my close friends in my church, and I had to learn how to be social with my neighbors because I was gone a lot, both domestically and internationally, and if you talk to my kids, I was never home. But I was, it was very difficult for me to interact with those around me in my neighborhood. I would occasionally go back to work to say hi, but what I found out immediately was, I wasn't as needed as I thought I was needed, and everything carried on without me.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because we had a panel of 6 retirees where we had a seminar, and somebody had said they felt that they were quickly replaceable, mm-hmm. where she was so worried about retirement because she had projects to do and projects to finish. And at the end of the day, when she gave her notice, they were hiring somebody and looking to hire somebody the very next day. Mike, you had some thoughts about that. Can you share with our listeners about the social aspect of retirement?
Sure. I have to echo what Jerry said in terms of my anticipation about ongoing relationships with my former coworkers and the reality of the fact that the contacts are sparse. and very, very infrequent. As Jerry was talking, a phrase entered my mind, and it sounds strange, but I think you have to be a retirement farmer in that in anticipation of retirement, you have to start cultivating. You have to plant new seeds in terms of relationships and begin to cultivate them. And from my perspective, I belong to a running club. And I find it interesting that we started out running together, and yet I now have these social contacts that come from all walks of life, all occupations, and that has transcended my leaving my work job. My retirement, quote, job is to continue to cultivate those friendships and activities. As I said, I attend bar class with my wife, and I now have a half a dozen to a dozen lady friends that I didn't have before, and we meet twice a week to exercise, and it's nice. It's now part of the fabric of my retirement week.
Well, and I'm glad you clarified bar, because I wasn't sure if people were thinking you were at a mixologist class.
No.
This is an exercise class, and it's a newer form of exercise.
Yes, it's B-A-R-R-E. There's some ballet components, but it's strength. It's a type of exercise that 5 years ago I would never have given any consideration to, but now it's a pretty integral part of my weekly routine.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the exercise part, because we know a body in motion stays in motion. And so it's clear you keep very physical, whether it's running or doing these group exercise classes. Jerry, are you doing anything to keep yourself physically active?
It's interesting that immediately after retirement, I was always active and doing things. And then I retired and I thought, I need to do other things, but it wasn't exercise oriented. And unfortunately, that I gained about 30 pounds. So what I started doing in the last 5 years was, and I can't do a lot of exercise because of my age, but I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of hiking as much as I can do, and include my wife as much as I can.
Well, and Jerry, I'm going to remind you, you did that great family vacation to a dude ranch, and that had to be physical. And I remember when you were planning for that vacation. So I don't want to give our listeners the impression that you are not physically fit. So
one of the things that we did that I just thought about it as Mike was talking was my wife and I coined a phrase over retirement called rigid flexibility, that we're rigid enough to be able to focus in on things that we need to do, but we also know that we have the opportunity to be flexible and not really have to do that particular thing that we've lined out.
So, Jerry, did your wife work outside the home while you were working?
Not at all.
And so how was it when you retired and you joined her world?
That was a difficult transition for both of us. As I said, I traveled quite a bit in my job. The company that I flew for is in 60 countries, so we were flying internationally a lot and going for a couple of weeks at a time. So over the years, with the military and with the job that I took after that, my wife got used to not having me around. So that transition it wasn't horrible, but it was difficult. There had to be time that I had to have some me time and let her have her own me time, because she was used to being alone in the house.
And so were you. Coming from me personally, my husband travels a ton, and he's used to his time because he's alone. I'm used to my time, and I always say to be successful at retirement, you both need your own separate time and friends, and then you need that joint time together and joint friends. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, did your wife work outside the home?
She has her own business. We were fortunate enough to be in a situation where she could run the business out of our home, which eliminated all childcare costs when the kids were little. But she is about 98% retired at this point. She's still in demand for what she does, and she is picking and choosing when she does it for people that she's maintained relationships with.
So seeing that she ran that household, you went to work. Mm-hmm. How did she adapt to you being there 24 hours a day?
She loves it because there are things that I do and enjoy doing in the household that allows her to pursue her own leisure interests. I know this may sound hard to believe, but I enjoy vacuuming, I wash dishes, I love laundry, I do all those things. And again, to use the word intentional, part of it's intentional because it's my way of giving back to my wife and my marriage, in that this is I don't want to say a gift, but it's a series of activities that free her up to do what she enjoys because of all that she did when I was out doing what I did and couldn't talk about it at home.
Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to dig into this thing called retirement a little deeper. With that, let's take a break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And today we're listening from two retirees that have actually done it and kind of getting their insight into this. And one question I'm going to ask that you might be a little surprised, but were both of you financially and emotionally prepared? Did you feel 100% ready for retirement? Now, Mike, you said you were terrified just prior to retirement, but did you kind of feel ready?
Intellectually, having worked with you for over 15 years, I knew the data. And the data, and you emphasize this to both me and my wife, was that we could successfully retire. The bigger issue, the visceral emotional issue, was dealing with the historical lifetime baggage we all carry with ourselves. And I'm okay with saying I grew up pretty poor, and dealing with that deeply ingrained fear of not having enough money or that my money would run out was a factor that I struggled with and to a minimal extent probably struggle with today. That I know what the numbers say, but can I trust them?
Yeah, we always say when the numbers say you can do it, you got to do it. And Jerry, you retired twice, and you've been retired for quite some time, the last 10 years. Were there any surprises financially?
The real surprise that I had, and as I said, there was a transition there. So I flew, so I did some part-time flying, and it can be somewhat lucrative, and it's not extremely busy work. And I think the surprise for me was not having the best knowledge I needed to have on Social Security. I retired at 65, just a month after I turned 65. And so there was that transition period where there was only a certain amount of money that I could make. Okay. Well, I wasn't watching it close enough. And therefore, within a short period of time, I'm paying back money to Social Security. I thought, I'm going to have to slow down. Mm-hmm. And which, again, there was a silver lining in that I did slow down, and I needed to slow down. And then I eventually stopped. But that was a surprise for me, and it gave me a better understanding of Social Security, and also gave me a better understanding of what more I needed to know to be able to make that transition.
Right, because you learned the tax aspect of retirement, and working with so many clients, you know, performance is a huge part of portfolio longevity, right? How much did your portfolio earn? What did the market do? But tax planning is as well. And in retirement, you have that sweet spot where you can undertake some strategies, hopefully to save taxes and money over time. And so, we are very blessed to have a tax team on site to address some of those questions. So we talked a little bit about performance and taxes. I want to redirect our conversation a little bit on family. And once you retire, sometimes there's some changes within your family and how you're viewed, and it gives you opportunity. And I know, Jerry, during our seminar, you shared about your family and what that meant to you during retirement. Can you share with our listeners a little bit on that?
Our family focus is huge in our life. With the 12 grandchildren that we have, and all of them being so close, we take every opportunity to be able to go to sporting events. The kids are getting older now, and so it's an excellent opportunity for me to help out in any way I can, and not just financially, but physically as long as I can. As I'd mentioned, I have a son up in Fremont, Wisconsin, who has a farm. I go up there and cut wood on occasion. We watch the kids on occasion because mom and dad need to get off by themselves. And so that's always a lot of fun. And that doesn't take up a lot of our time, but it's enjoyable time for both of us.
What about you, Mike? Can you share?
Mary and I have three grandkids. The biggest thing for us is the availability to be a part of our daughter and our son's lives as well as our grandkids. The grandkids are having they live up in the Appleton area. If they have a school event, we can now say on pretty much one day's notice, we can come up and attend that event. Our daughter feels very comfortable in terms of scheduling a trip for her and her husband and saying, hey, can you take the kids? In fact, that just happened this past weekend. And the kids like coming down and spending time with grandma and grandpa on that vacation because there are certain things we do here that they don't do up there. And I find it very, very, very fulfilling because by the time I came along, all my grandparents were deceased. And so it's a sense of that continuity that they can have this special relationship with us, and hopefully they'll carry it on during their lives.
And, you know, family is so important. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And we, too, were blessed to have my grandparents on both sides, my family and my husband's side, live very close to us. So they've been an active part in our daughter's life forever. And I can tell the relationship that she has with them is priceless. And so it's very interesting. And what a blessing that you were able to do that. I want to spend a little bit of time on the question, if you could go back and change anything about how you transitioned into retirement, what would you do differently? Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Actually, I wouldn't do anything differently. As I shared in the panel, and I'll share it here, I knew my target date. And I gave my employer 2 years' notice. And as part of that process, again, I had the financial assurance from Eugene that we were in a place to do that. But knowing myself, knowing how I am, that 2-year notice allowed me to transition down to 3 days a week and then subsequently transition down to actually 2 days a month prior to finally pulling the pin and being done. And what that allowed me to do was, in gradual increments, have the reality of retirement seep in a way that wasn't a shock to my system.
So both of you phased in retirement, which is kind of interesting. You know, even though you had a target date, you had 2 years to mentally prepare for that.
And I needed it. I really did need it because I had to get past my terror. I had to get past my fear, my apprehension, my anxiety, and come to a place where, while they still may be there, they are compartmentalized and they don't jump out all that much.
So I know you're a psychologist by trade. So how did you actually do that? How did you work on your fears? How did you get over that? Because when you think of retirement, it's on the stress level. It's as stressful as somebody getting divorced and a death in the family. And people don't think of it. These are supposed to be the golden years. And when you start retiring and you get to that age, you get all this data pushed at you from your financial advisor, from Medicare, from the insurance, from Social Security, and all these decisions are being made. And once they're made, they're made. But how did you get over that fear? What advice would you give our listeners?
as a psychologist, I'm a cognitive behavioral psychologist, and I place great emphasis on the conversations we have with in our heads. And believe it or not, out on my long runs and my long bike rides, I had a lot of conversations with myself. In fact, the voices in my head were talking to me all the time. And it was a gradual process of incorporating the objective data into the vision I had for retirement and beginning to take away the power that the fears, those negative thoughts had. So I was able to get to a point where when I did retire, it wasn't my hair standing on end, my head on fire. It was a sense of, okay, we know we can do this. We have the means. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the $6 million man. We have the means to do this.
What about you, Jerry? You phased in retirement too.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's good that you can have voices in your head. I thought I had some issues. I think one of the things that I would probably give advice on is, depending on what your situation is, whether it's a partner, a wife, a husband, a spouse, whatever it might be, I think there has to be more deep discussion about that retirement. I think there has to be a discussion about, you know, what you plan for your money, what you plan to do for travel, what you plan to do with your family, how that, not just the transition, but long term. I mean, if considering you retire at 65, you've got a good, you know, 20, maybe 30 years left left together to do things and to find things to do and to decide what to do with that big nest egg that you built up for all those years. I think that conversation needs to happen because what I found out is that your spouse doesn't know what she doesn't know.
Right. Okay? Right. And I think it came out during our panel discussion. Somebody had plans to do something in retirement, and the spouse said, no, we're not doing that, which was kind of interesting. And we find that when we're working with clients, there's always one person that handles most of the financial decisions. And that person tends to direct the, what are we going to do with our money at retirement? And it can be very stressful when you're trying to take two visions of those golden years and put it into one plan. And I'll never forget years ago, there was a client where the wife did not work outside the home. And at retirement, the husband left the room to use the restroom and she started crying. And she said, I don't know how we're going to get this to work because he does not like making distributions and withdrawals. And she was very nervous once the wages stopped. We had some good conversations about that, which we're going to share in our next segment because I'm getting an indication that we need to take a break. So with that, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the firm or some of our educational seminars, please visit our website at ellenbecker.com for more details. We're in our last segment. Boy, time flies. And we've been talking with two retirees about everything called retirement. And during our break, we had a brief conversation about what really drives some of our money fears and some of our long-term decisions. And it really comes down to your first memory of money. And I have one. I will share that my parents bought a rental property. And at one point, my mother said to me, things are going to be a little tight around here. And I will never forget that day. In my mother's older age, I did share that memory with her, and she doesn't remember that conversation at all. And it's impacted me in so many different ways. And Jerry, you have a first memory of money. Would you like to share with our listeners what that was and how it's impacted you as a retiree?
You know, I've been very lucky over the years, and I'm not quite sure if it's luck. Maybe there's a little bit of skill there. I'm not really quite sure, but a lot of luck. My parents were not rich, but I don't think we ever wanted for anything either. And I was never talked to much about finances. I just knew we had things. We had cars. I was able to do things. And then when I started earning money, we talked about this before, my first job was as a paperboy. And when I first got that first amount of money in my pocket, I thought, I need more jobs because I need more money. And there was a certain amount of saving, but there was also a lot of spending. It wasn't until probably I met my wife that I started thinking about finances and what I needed to be doing with finances, because that fear comes into being about, okay, now I'm responsible for someone else and not just myself.
So when you look at that, does that make you a better spender? And when I say a better spender, you know, some of my clients spend well, meaning they know where their dollars are going. Or does that give you the ease to just go, oh yeah, I know I have the funds and I know we can get it to work?
So here's a part of that luck. So my wife and I are almost totally different. One very introverted, one very extroverted. You can tell who the extroverted one is. And because of that, it's really a good match. And because of that, on a financial aspect of it, it's also a very good match. She's a saver. She's a watcher. She looks at things. She analyzes things. I'm a quick spender, and it keeps me in check. So that's been a very good combination in our marriage.
And that is a good combination. In my own personal marriage, to no surprise, I'm the saver, and my husband's the spender. And when we buy a lottery ticket, which is very rare, he said, you know, if we win, it's really not going to impact our world. Our savings account will be bigger. That's just about it. Mm-hmm. And there's some truth to that, because I am very aware financially of where we are. And I see it. I do it for a living. So, Mike, share with our listeners your first memory of money and how it's impacted you as a retiree.
Wow. We grew up pretty dirt poor. My dad was a construction worker, general laborer, post-World War II. I can remember my parents. We lived in an apartment, and part of the family lore is we could never afford a home. So I remember my parents arguing about paying the rent, arguing about buying groceries. We didn't really want for anything that a 6 or 7-year-old would know about, but it was tight. My first job, Jerry, was at 7 years old, weeding farmers' fields on my hands and knees for $1 an hour, because that's what we did. It has impacted me because savers, my wife, both Mary and I are savers, the fear of not having it. And I mentioned during the break, one of the voices in my head says, you know, you're going to end up sleeping in a refrigerator box underneath the viaduct because this is too good to be true. It's not real. And I understand that that's the manifestation of that early awareness of my parents' monetary relationship. And it's not mine, but that experience has informed pretty much everything I've ever done with money. And in fact, when Mary and I first got married, one of her first statements to me was, "We got to clear out your student loan debt," and it was only $2,000. But in order to get on good footing and not have debt, I had to pay off. I paid off that loan in like a year.
So Jerry and his wife complement each other, where one's a spender, one's a saver, and you're both savers.
Yes.
So do you enjoy spending your money? Have you allowed yourself to enjoy spending your money?
I enjoy fantasizing about spending my money on things I would like. I can't yet justify an upgraded road bike or things like that, but as a compromise, Mary has wanted to travel, and we recently went to Costa Rica on a trip. And that's my way of doing successive approximations to getting closer to this let's spend some of our money thing that I've heard about.
And I was going to bring up that trip if you didn't. So you have allowed yourself to enjoy that.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You two were glowing when you were sharing the adventures and the experiences that you enjoyed on that trip.
It was wonderful. And once we got past the fact of writing the check and paying the bill, we could, at least I could then allow myself to fully enjoy the experience. But getting to that point where writing the check, that was a struggle.
Yeah, yeah. Share with me a lot of, I always tell retirees, do everything when you're young and healthy, right? In fact, a retiree went on a trip and watched individuals that were 10 years older than them and seeing some of the limitations they had. You would agree with that statement, right? And do you feel that you're living that, or you will live it? And Jerry, have you lived that, where you're doing most of your stuff up front?
I think we're trying to. I think what happens is as we talked about this earlier, that 10 years went by relatively fast. And you go from 65 to almost 76, and you say, wait a minute, I've really only got about 4 more years maybe before maybe some health issues start kicking in. I'm not able to do that. So maybe there's a point there where you say, I better start cramming in some travel. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say to transition that out over time and not try to hold it off until the last minute, because all of a sudden the last minute is here. One of the things I was going to say, and I'll say this quickly, is, and it kind of relates to the spousal thing, is that if you got the different aspects of introverted, extroverted, saver, spender, it's good to make that your partner more at ease. One of the things, one of the things my wife wanted me to do, and I think made her more at ease, is I made a binder. I made a quick grab binder for her to grab to give to my oldest son. And comically, it's called Jerry's Death Book. but it's something that keeps me busy, because what I found out was I wanted to have more things in there, and now I have to keep it updated. So that's one of those things that's kind of something it's busy work, but it's very beneficial, and I think it keeps her mind at ease.
Yeah, and Mike, I could tell you wanted to add to that.
Yes, following up on that, we don't have the death binder, but we have the just-in-case binder.
There you go.
And the beauty of it was that in taking this trip to Costa Rica, we had to make sure that our ducks were all in a row and let our children know where XYZ was. If something happens, these documents should be taken, brought here and discussed. So it's really been important to think of that. And another takeaway from our trip was that we were able to see firsthand some of the ramifications about people traveling as they matured, because there were people on our trip who were participating but could not fully participate because of some health or mobility issues.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's segment. Money Sense airs on Saturday from 2 to 3 and on Sundays from 12 to 1. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or give us a call at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Be well.